This is the Fair Play Podcast, presented by GEICO. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, I'm Mike Giardi. This is a Fair Play Podcast presented by GEICO. I am joined by Charlie Davies, who during his soccer career played for the U.S. men's national team overseas in France and here in the MLS for D.C. United, New England Revolution, and the Philadelphia Union.
Davies in the clear. Takes the shot. 2-1 Rev. What a goal.
What was the youth sports scene like where you were? You know, did you have a lot of options, and was it fairly intense?
There weren't a lot of options. My first experience with a team was the recreational program in Derry, New Hampshire, where I just played on a rec team that my father coached. And from week to week, I saw the progress and how much better I was getting from all the work I was doing at home and the practice that I was putting into the sport. So soon enough, after a couple of weeks, the cross-town rival Londonderry travel team asked me to play with them, and that's kind of where it started for me as far as the competitive side of youth sports and soccer.
When you get on that travel team, how much different was the intensity level from playing, you know, with your town team and sort of just, you know, club, if you will?
The intensity level, the competitive spirit was much more intense than the recreational game that I was playing. The recreational soccer team was a lot of fun. It was all about just going out there, smiling, having fun, running around. But there really wasn't a competitive nature to the games. When I moved on to the travel team, it was really competitive, and I loved that. I had a younger brother, I had kids in the neighborhood, and I loved to compete. So that's what really drew me to the sport, was that competitive nature at such a young age, where the emphasis was put on winning and losing, but I was having fun while doing it.
Did you feel any pressure as a kid to become a star, if you will, to sort of take that game to the next level?
I put pressure on myself to be a star, and I really never thought about becoming a professional or having a goal in mind until going to a World Cup game in 1994 at Foxborough Stadium, which was my first ever soccer game. It's the first time I had seen the sport played by professionals, or seen it played at all by adults. And that's where I fell in love with the game. And it was South Korea versus Bolivia, two random teams for a youth from New Hampshire. And I just saw the face paint. I saw the fans. I saw the passion how it brought all these different people together. And I said, this is what I want to do. This is the level I want to get to. This is going to be my life dream. And so really from that point on, the summer of 94, I've always had it in my mind. I put the pressure on myself to one day make that happen. And I've always had pressure from my father, to be the best. He always pushed me. It was never good enough. If I scored four or five goals in a game, it was, yeah, you scored, but you didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. And, you know, I was driven to please my dad, as well as having, you know, enjoying the success that I was having in games.
Was that pressure from your father? Was that at times, is that too much? You know, because you get that a lot now. You get the as sports have grown and specialization has grown, you get those parents in the stands, and maybe it's always been this way, but it's just more prominent now because there are so many different ways it gets covered. But did you ever feel like, Dad, can you just back off? Can you just let me do my thing here? You're not making this fun anymore.
No, because it was always fun for me. And I enjoyed the training part. I enjoyed the hard work part. Whereas my brother, my younger brother, he did not like being pushed. He didn't like my father, you know, pushing him and making him do, you know, runs and hill sprints. He didn't like that. And it was a turnoff for him. I think the great part about, you know, playing at a young age and playing so much on myself was that I was able to play other sports, you know, and at home with the neighborhood kids. I was able to play football, which I loved, and playing tackle football in the neighborhood. I wasn't too good at basketball, but I would play basketball. But I was able to do other things and enjoy the life of that a kid should enjoy. So I put the pressure on myself to be good. My father put the pressure on myself to be good, to perform well. But I never felt that, oh, I'm sick of this. I don't want to do this. I hate it.
You mentioned playing other sports, you know, whether it be for fun. I know you wrestled in high school. What benefits do you think you got from playing various sports? And what do you think now about kids becoming, you know, focusing, playing 11, 12 months a year on one sport, being a one sport athlete?
Well, to answer your last question, I don't like it whatsoever when a kid is forced to play only one sport. Football was my first love. That was the first sport I loved, and Barry Sanders in particular, you know, being in the neighborhood, playing football, tackle football, and playing against mostly, you know, kids that were 4, 5, 6 years older than me, you don't want to get hit tackled by these kids. So being able to, you know, practice those jukes and avoid those tackles, really helped me when I was transitioning into the sport of soccer. So being able to use those same type of moves while I'm dribbling to get away from defenders, to put people off, to make defenders put them off balance and get by them, was extremely useful and helpful to getting me to where I am now. And then more so wrestling in high school was really kind of put the finishing touches on my soccer career, as far as like the mental toughness, which you can't duplicate in soccer. Being on a wrestling mat, one versus one, for 2 minutes at a time, for 3 periods. If you go all 3 periods and then there's overtime, you can't duplicate that in soccer. That type of intensity, where there's no help, it's you 1v1, and being able to think on the fly, the balance, the strength, the trainings that we did every week, that really prepared me for college and for the professional life. So it's really a shame when I hear a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds are just forced to play one sport, because it's so sad knowing that kids can benefit from playing multiple sports.
Yeah, I look at it. I have 2 kids, both, you know, in the system, sort of feeding their way through athletics. And I can't, you know, they want him to play AAU this and AAU that. And it's like, no, he likes basketball. He likes soccer. He's going to go from one to the other. One's in season, he's going to do that. When the other's in season, he's going to do that. And then, you know, in the off season, summertime, he'll do both if he wants to. It's up to him, you know. The same thing with my daughter, softball, basketball, like, and I was a big believer growing up too. My father was a coach, that it's about those other skills that you're talking about help you. You don't even realize sometimes you're playing basketball, what it does for you in football, or what it did for you in baseball or track or whatever. It can make a big difference.
It makes a huge difference. And, you know, in New Hampshire, Massachusetts in the wintertime, it's not like you're going to be able to play soccer outside. So wrestling was the perfect sport for me to keep up with my conditioning, to condition me in a different way, a way that will be useful when you're back on the field. And I think junior year is when it really came together for me, because I kind of hit my growth spurt and I was able to start using my strength and agility and balance in soccer. And I think that's where I really saw the dividends that were made while from wrestling.
You're a father of two. So what do you want your role to be as a parent if your boys participate in youth sports?
I'm going to be the most supportive fan of theirs. I know they love sports already because they're always running around, kicking balls, wrestling each other. And, you know, it's exciting. I would never force them to play soccer just because I played soccer. Obviously, if they choose to play soccer, I would be thrilled, knowing that I could kind of help them along the way. But I'm going to be a fan. I'm not going to force them to do anything. I obviously would like them to play sports because I know what sports does for a person, you know, making friends and traveling, you know, to all these different places and the opportunities that sports can bring for a kid. But with that being said, I'm just going to be a fan. I'm going to be a supporter, and whatever sports they choose to do, I'm going to make sure that they have fun, but they understand it's, you know, while having fun, you have to put in the work. And you'll see the rewards from putting in the work and while you're playing your sport. But I think for kids nowadays, and parents as well, it's not just bringing your kid to the practice of the sport they play in, and then that's it. And then they don't play that sport or practice that sport till the next practice or the next game. It's, for me as a child, growing up, I wanted to play soccer 24/7. Like it wasn't just going to my team's practice, but at home I was always kicking the ball. I was in the backyard, you know, dribbling, juggling, shooting on goal, you know, even playing Pop Warner football, which I eventually got to play in seventh and eighth grade. I was playing tackle football, you know, so I was always playing the sports in my free time, you know, as well. So I think that's what's key is having the love for the sport. I think in the long run, that's how kids get to, you know, becoming high school star athletes or, you know, collegiate athletes. And then the very few that can progress to being a professional athlete. I think the kid has to absolutely love the sport where it's like, I want to do this even in my free time. When I'm at home, I want to go outside and play and practice and watch games. I was a big fan of watching once I understood the sport is watching games and watching the players in the position that I play, you know, watching the strikers, how they move, how they score their goals, their celebrations, and then doing it outside. And that was, I think that's lost nowadays is, mm-hmm. You know, watch the sport and then watch the player that plays your position and see what they do and go outside and try and do the same thing. Try and emulate your favorite player.
That's a great point. That's totally how I used to watch Larry Bird. And then I go out there and I shoot the fadeaway jumper, the step back three, the turnaround. I would be McHale in the low post. He would do all those things. Last one for me. So finish this sentence. The future of youth sports is
limitless. As the years go on, I think we're all going to get to a point in the United States where we realize we have the best athletes going, and the best way to nurture these young kids, putting them in the right places for them to succeed, you know, basically coaching them the right way, not putting all this stress on them and making them do X, Y, Z at such a young age, letting them just be kids and enjoying themselves. I think we're going to get to a point where we as a country will understand that we're going to generate these brilliant young kids and brilliant athletes, but kind of just everything out there for them to, you know, have success. But let them go out and do it. You know, if they want to do it, they're going to do it as long as we give them the opportunity to do it. So as long as they have the opportunities to be successful, I think that the kids in America are just going to be you know, spectacular and something else. And I can't wait to see what the future holds for the youth in the United States.
All right, Charlie, appreciate your time. It was awesome. Thank you.
No, thank you.
This is the Fair Play Podcast, presented by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.